Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Pat Schlarbaum. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Susan. And hello, you, our listener. Thanks for joining us.
Today will be a fun day. I know you have some up-to-the-minute news about Bald Eagle events this week and weekend.
Yes, Susan, Friday and Saturday, February 12th and 13th. On Friday, we're going to do Bring Your Lunch to the Grays Lake area in Des Moines, 2100 Fleur Drive, right by the Raccoon River, and have lunch with eagles, a nice eagle program. And then on Saturday, February 13th, we'll have an Eagle Expo at the Fellowship Baptist Church on Southeast 6th Street in Des Moines.
Since there are outdoor activities planned, do you have a weather report?
You know, the weather looks pretty good. No prevailing winds. I'm hoping the winds is behind us, but yeah, in the upper 20s, and it should be beautiful. The indoor program, of course, is kind of works out, but the outdoor viewing will be right on the Southeast 16th Bridge. So it is somewhat exposed, but there are eagles to see.
Well, that's an optimistic view of the weather report. I'm just looking at the National Weather Service report also, and you're right, the temperatures aren't going to be very low, and there's not a lot of wind, but our listeners are probably noticing already the beginning of a little bit of snow, but it says the snow accumulation is less than half an inch, and it's clear and partly sunny. So you're right. People should be able to see the eagles in relative comfort, and it should be a great day. And you have any political news?
Hey, has anybody realized that Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders were victorious in the New Hampshire primaries yesterday? So breaking news in that front. You know, Susan, people ask me as an environmental kind of outdoor guy, which political party, you know, should we support? I really like to tell people that we will have a candidate, hopefully someday, that will honor the Conservation Pledge of 1918 when Republican President Teddy Roosevelt convened a conference of governors, and they developed a conservation pledge. It's pretty simple. But I give my pledge as an American citizen to save and faithfully defend from waste the natural resources of our country. It's soil and minerals, land, water, and wildlife. And we can all move forward together in protecting these precious natural resources. So it's not every day I get to start out the program with a conservation pledge, but it does ring true. And hopefully our political parties will realize the prominence of that necessary stewardship of the planet.
100 years ago.
It still applies. Yeah, we give our pledge as American citizens to save and faithfully defend from waste.
At this point in the original plans for today's program, we hoped to have interviews with representatives of the Boone Community Theater and Ankeny Community Theater about plays that will be opening this weekend, Friday, February 12th. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we will have to delay the interview with Nick Julesgaard, who will tell us about what it's like to perform The Diaries of Adam and Eve with his wife. You can hear that on the Friday Local Talk Show. We do have Doug Moon, the director of Some Sweet Day, to give us a preview of that time travel romantic comedy. We started by talking about Michael Porsche, who I met when I visited the Christmas presentation last December. I understand that Michael Porsche, the director of the last play, is going to be starring in this, and you, Doug Moon, are the director. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. And Mike is as good of a talent as he is as a director. He's even more of a talent as an actor. I think people that come to see this performance, if they haven't already seen him before, they're going to fall in love with him and want to see him again in the future.
How long have you been involved with the Ankeny Community Theater?
This is my, sixth year. This will be the fourth show that I've directed. I've acted in four. I've done tech on four. I'll do just about anything to be involved in a show.
Well, Ankeny can draw from quite a wide geographic area for both their actors and their audience. Is that right?
Well, we do. We get people from all over the state, and that's one of the benefits of being in Central Iowa is that we draw from the north, south, east, and the west, and even sometimes we get people from out of state that will come in for the show if they have a connection with an actor in the show. But yeah, we draw a wide variety of people.
Well, let's talk about the show that's opening this weekend. Could you tell us just a little bit about that?
Sure. The show is titled Some Sweet Day, and the premise of the story is Ken, which is played by Michael, is building a time machine. And for years, he isn't able to get it to work and isn't able to get it work. And then something happens that makes it work, and he ends up back 24 years. And why he's back in those 24 years, he decides that he wants to change some of the things that he did in his life to prevent some things that happened in his life. And so he seeks out himself to try to get himself to marry the girl that got away. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of secrecy going on because he doesn't want his identity given up. There is one person that knows, and that's his best friend, Greta, who is played by Beth Fehlmeyer and does an outstanding job. And then there's Greta's mother, who is a psychic, which is another side twist to this. Is as they go back 24 years, she's a psychic, so she can predict the future. So here he is coming back from the future, and here she is trying to predict the future. And so it's kind of interesting to see which one of them's, you know, getting the true picture here. Is she predicting the future correctly, or is he living it the way that it really happened, and it's really interesting. And then, of course, there's Jenny, the girl that got away, and that is played by Sierra Knighty, and she's a newbie to Ankeny Community Theater, as is Sherry Bowman, who plays the role of Stormy, which is Greta's mother. And Jenny, of course, doesn't know that Ken is come back 24 years, so she has no inkling to the fact that he's trying to get himself to his younger self to marry her, and it just gets kind of confusing and it's just hilarious. You know, just that's what the story's about. I really like the story because it not only is it a comedy, but it does tell a story that if you could go back and change time, what would you change, and would you really want to? And I think this story brings that out in the end, that you know, maybe you don't always get what you want or don't wish what you don't want to get.
Well, there are quite a few time travel stories right now. It seems to be kind of in vogue. Does this predate those, or is it sort of part of this wave?
This show was written, I want to say, probably within the last 5-10 years. I don't know if it would be a part of that or if this was just a comedy idea that the playwrights had, but I think they've done it brilliantly. It's a good mixture, like I say, of comedy, plus it does tell a story in the end as well, too.
Now, where are your actors from?
Well, that's a good question. We have them from all over the Des Moines area. We have two or three of them from Ankeny. We have two of them from Des Moines, one from Johnston, one from West Des Moines, in the Central Iowa area, but not necessarily just from Ankeny.
When does this open, and how long is the run?
The show opens this Friday, February 12th, and it runs till February 28th. And the shows are on Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30, and on Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock for those 3 weekends, February 12th through the 28th.
Well, that's a longer run than most community theaters have. Is that in part because of the size of your audience?
Yeah, but it's a fairly small theater. It holds 82. We can get up to 90. We like to have it over 3 weekends. You know, for one thing, for the actors, they put so much time into it, and to only do a production for 1 weekend or 2 weekends is kind of a shame for them. So we do three. We do a total of the 9 shows. And by the end of that, it's a bittersweet. You're kind of glad that it's over because you get your life back, but it's also bitter because you've put so much time and effort into it, and you've had so much fun, you hate to see it end. But 3 weekends is a pretty good number.
As a director, do you have anything else to add for the audience?
I think one of the things that I really like about this show, it's a comedy. It's a romantic comedy, and there are 7 characters in the show, and at some point or another, each and every one of them has a line or they do something that'll just make the audience just bust out laughing. It is very well written and divvied out to where the laughs go to everyone. And a lot of times when you do a comedy, you may have one person that has all the comedy lines. But this one, each and every individual is going to get their due as to show what kind of an actor that they are through comedy. There's one scene in there where Greta, played by Beth Thielmeyer, is getting drunk. And I am still laughing 6 weeks after into rehearsals. I am still laughing at every time that I see that scene. She has just done a phenomenal job with that, as have the other actors that are in the scene with her that are playing off of each other. And I really think our audience is going to have a good time with this one.
Well, that's a pretty good recommendation. And actually, it's interesting. When I was at the Regifters in December and I talked to audience members, they said this was a good play to come to for all the laughs. And I guess that's going to be true for Some Sweet Day also.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And that was Doug Moon, the director of Some Sweet Day, opening at the Ankeny Community Theater this weekend at 7:30.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, 89.1 Story City, Ames. And here in central Iowa, we're enjoying our bald eagles. And this weekend, we've got a couple programs coming up for our listeners that I think you might find entertaining. And beyond that, we have an artist on the phone, Ty Smedes. Hi, Ty. How are you doing?
Well, good morning, Pat. I'm doing great.
And let's give the listeners a little bit of your background. You're from central Iowa, and where'd you grow up?
I live in Urbandale currently, and I grew up on a farm just south of Granger, located along Beaver Creek, and that's where I developed my intense interest in nature and wildlife.
Yeah, and it's been proven that you're an excellent presenter, your photography. We're talking about the eagles there along the Des Moines and Raccoon River this morning. We've got an event coming up on Saturday, kind of a nice eagle expo. And there is a nesting pair of eagles right there at the Southeast 6th Street Bridge. Report yesterday that the pair are in attendance. Hope they're there Saturday.
You bet.
But you'll be inside. Tell us a little about your photography background.
Well, I started out as just a sort of a part-time photographer. I was interested in waterfowl photography. And I made one of those floating blinds, a muskrat house blind, and I would go to a couple of the marshes up in near northwest Iowa and get out there in my chest waders and photograph waterfowl. And then gradually I developed an interest in prairies and landscapes and other things.
Nature kind of started to unfold for you.
You bet.
What was your profession? Was this, or have you always been a photographer by profession?
No, no. I worked for the state of Iowa for a lot of years for what was then called the General Services Department in information technology, doing a variety of different things through the years. But my photography continued to expand. Excuse me. And I decided that I wanted to take an early retirement, and so I kind of changed gears and went into that full-time, really, about January of 2002.
I see. So since that time, you've had your focus. And one of the things you discovered early on were the bald eagles there at the Scott Street Dam.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit about that biology? Why are the eagles congregating there each winter?
That's a great question. I think a lot of our listeners don't realize that although the bald eagle is a fish eagle, one of four fish eagles in the world, that they come south and stay in the Iowa area each winter because there's one particular fish that probably constitutes 99% of their diet, as you know, Pat, and that's the gizzard shad. It's a small forage fish that's temperature sensitive and as we know, in the winter.
And when you say, excuse me, Ty, when you say small, maybe 5, 6, 7 inches?
They probably average 7 to 8 inches in length.
Yeah.
Some of them grow to maybe a foot in length. But this is the number one fish the eagles pick off. And oftentimes, when you see an eagle catch a fish, it's small, maybe the length of an ink pen to maybe 10 inches long. And this temperature-sensitive fish goes through a die-off each winter as we get our first cold blast of northern air, usually in December. And not all of these fish die during the winter, but a large number of them do. And they come to the surface when they're when they're breathing their last, so to speak. And the eagles really love to dine on this fish. This is the number one fish that they feed upon.
Oh, it's called easy pickings, I guess.
Easy picking,
yeah.
Right.
Well, the your photography, and now you also have some books, if you'd like to share that, you know, some of those titles. But I really want to, we're going to try to describe a lot of your eagle fascination because your slide program is the most wonderful presentation I think anybody could have their enjoyment to bring their family to see.
Well, thank you.
But what's your current book?
My new book is titled Iowa's Wild Beauty. It's my third book, and in this book we take a look at everything from prairies to the butterflies and insects that are in the prairies, mammals, fox and coyote and deer, and then we look at a lot of raptors or birds of prey, like the bald eagle. But we look at other raptors, too. I've got photos of red-tailed hawks and sharp shins and Cooper's hawks and merlins and a lot of neat birds.
Yeah, and I'll give the listeners a little background on when you use that term raptor. I guess we're referring to hawks or our national symbol bald eagles. They have talons for grasping their prey, and they have a beak that's designed for ripping and tearing. And so they're meat eaters, but they also have excellent eyesight. So those are the kind of things that kind of constitute these birds that you're referring to. And do you recall the first bald eagle you ever saw?
Yeah, I do. as you know, we went through a spell in the early early part of the 20th century when we really didn't have any bald eagles in Iowa. They were pretty much extirpated, and we had our first nest in modern times in 1977 again in Alamakee County. And I guess my first bald eagle that I saw was along the Upper Mississippi River Wildlife Refuge. And, yeah, what a sight when you've seen one for the very first time. You know, they're so magnificent. They've got that dark brown body and the white head and tail of the adults, and they're really a special flyer. And then, of course, when you see them dive and go after a fish, you know, it's just breathtaking.
Yeah, a solitary bird. Were there multiple birds in that first sighting? Or
I think I just saw one eagle just flying down the river,
which
really caught my attention.
So you had your total focus. But
yeah.
But I hope the listeners realize that in the wintertime, that solitary nature, they group up. They're quite social. And, gosh, they interact with each other. They're chirping and having all the calls. And this time of year, I guess now's a good time to kind of let the listeners know. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 Story City, Ames. And we're talking with Ty Smedes, and he's telling us about his fascination with bald eagles. And particularly this time of year when they group up, they're social, and there's some courtship activities.
Right.
What have you observed in that line of bald eagle interaction?
Well, the interaction at this time of year, like you say, Pat, is really interesting because they do congregate around some of the locks and dams on the Mississippi, and then, of course, at Scott Street Dam in Des Moines, in Iowa City, in Cedar Rapids, and other places. So early on in winter, you see competition for fish. Oftentimes you'll see an eagle go down and get a fish, and then another eagle will chase him.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'll even cause the eagle with prey to drop that fish,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it may be. Over on the Mississippi time, sometimes they will catch coots. And
oh, that's kind of
water
a waterfowl.
Bird,
but, yeah, a
yeah,
waterfowl
but then
bird.
Late in the season, when you get towards the end of February, they begin to migrate north. And then I think you see some of that courtship sort of thing in the air. We see them flying and doing some talon locking and actually rolling through the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really spectacular as well.
Yeah, one of the things we're going to enjoy this weekend also is a nesting pair at
right.
Gray's Lake right
yep.
there on Fleur Drive, so right at the Raccoon River, so just south of the downtown Des Moines area loop. Boy, who would have thought?
Yeah, right in downtown Des Moines.
And so we call it Lunch with Eagles, encouraging people to bring their lunch between 11 and 1.
And that's on Friday?
And that's on Friday. And 2 years ago, we had stick carrying, which is kind of part of the activity. They're adding to the nest each
right.
year. And so can you describe some of those? You mentioned the grabbing the talons and a lot of vocalizations.
Right, right.
Who would have thought we'd have nesting bald eagles in our urban areas?
Yeah, in downtown Des Moines, in full view of the tall buildings and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. This time of year, well, really starting in December, you see mated pairs at their nests, and they're adding to those nests each year. You know, they're bringing sticks and rearranging everything, and they're relining them with soft grasses to cushion the mm-hmm. eggs and getting ready to lay those eggs. So, yeah, it's a special time.
Yeah, it is a real special time, and that's one of our messages. Come and enjoy these birds. We've got spotting scopes. We keep our distance. We're not infringing or harassing these birds to watch them. That's probably one of our main messages, that they are coming close to us. They're guiding us. It's a beautiful resource, and yet if we disturb them right at the time of mating, and egg laying, they abandon things really, the wheels fall off pretty quickly, I guess
yeah,
you
they
could
can.
Say.
They can.
So that's one of our messages. Let's appreciate and enjoy these birds. However, we'll do it in such a way that we respect their needs for privacy. The And the mating. You know, when I was growing up, we always heard that, you know, these birds, when the people were confused that they'd see them locking talons and swinging around each other, and that there was mating in mid-flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was one of our early messages. People, you know, is that's what's going on? Is no, that occurs at the nest site. So it's that time of year. Love is in the air in a lot of different ways, and the eagles are just kind of guiding us through this Valentine's Day weekend.
Right.
And
you know, Pat, the other thing we should go on and mention too, I guess, is that there will be Eagle Day presentations on Saturday at the Baptist Church on Southeast 6th. You go to the Southeast 6th Des Moines River Bridge, cross it heading south, and turn right into the Baptist Church parking lot. I think activities start there, what, at 10?
10 a.m., 10 to 4, and we'll have live bird. Kay Newman's going to be there with her live bald eagle, and of course your presentations, not only sharing your beautiful book, but the focus is on our raptors. There's a lot of kids' activities. We are assisting Joel Van Rokel with the Des Moines Parks and Rec. And of course we got the replica bald eagle nest that people can let their grandkids, toddlers, can sit in the nest and hold the eggs, and it's great when the grandparents get basically a Christmas card image for next winter with their grandkids in the nest. And you know that nest there at Southeast 16th Street. Just one short story. So 2 years ago, we had the replica nest right there at the Fellowship Baptist Church, 1503. Southeast 6th Street, and then last year there was a nest, and you could see the actual nest from where we had placed the replica nest, and the joke is that a pair of eagles saw that replica nest and said, "We can do better than that." Sometimes you can't make this stuff up, but it's a full day activity, and you really bring an exceptional wildlife story. So what would be some words that you would like the listeners to take away from that event on Saturday? What's your philosophy?
Well, first of all, I'll give a slideshow and presentation. I'll give two of them, actually, one at 10:30 and one at 12:30. And they're titled Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Bald Eagles. I have photos of them rearing their young, catching fish, on all that sort of thing. Also, besides bald eagles, Kay Newman usually brings a couple of other birds of prey, usually maybe a red-tailed hawk or perhaps a screech owl. I think even last year she might have had a snowy owl along.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, there are lots of activities for kids, I think, coloring books and things like that.
Yeah, they make a nest, too. We've got a lot of sticks in for inside activities.
Yeah, so it's just a really really great family day, I think.
Yeah, and it's growing, spreading by word of mouth.
Right.
And it's hard to get too much of bald eagles this time of year. So, Ty Smedes, we're looking forward to seeing you there on Saturday, and swing by on Friday
if you
want to come down and bring your lunch. And the program at the Grays Lake is unique, and it's marvelous when nature can give us some real touchstones of value and something to build on.
That's right.
And we'll have more. Thank you so much, Ty. You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 Story City, Ames. Let's have a little bit more of Big Blue Sky, environmental music group from Northeast Iowa, High Flying Bird. Been listening to Christina Castaneda with Big Blue Sky, a high flying bird. And the high flying birds are our theme today, bald eagles. We've got Susan. What's bald eagles mean to you?
Well, we're living out in the country for a few months and on the Des Moines River, and there's a bald eagle that comes to a tree that's just on the bluff above the river almost every day. There's no nest there, and he or she comes alone. I suppose they're fishing for those little fish. Maybe
the gizzard shad. Yeah, that Ty was talking about.
That's right. We feel very close to wildlife out there. It's very interesting living in the country where, you know, you instead of seeing juncos and cardinals, we do occasionally see those too, but we can see regularly eagles and hawks. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we see out there that you don't usually see in town is we have deer looking in our window.
Mm-hmm.
They're very young deer, and they come and nibble on the ewes that are outside the window. But those aren't our ewes, and the owners of the house said, well, don't worry about it. They grow back. And the little, I guess, yearlings come, and they look right in the window like, don't you have something in there for us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a nice experience. And, of course, the other little wildlife that we do have quite a few of, and they're very cute, are mice.
Oh, huh. So have you attracted any red-tailed hawks or things that some of the raptors that go after the mice?
Yeah, that's a good – well, actually, our mouse population has gone way, way down. Mm. So maybe they have come and feasted on those plentiful mice.
Nature is looking out for you. Hey, we got John Howe on the telephone. John, hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi. And we're kind of discussing our love of raptors. And you're now working with Bob Anderson's Raptor Resource Project. We'll kind of develop that, your involvement there. But what do raptors bring to John Howe?
Well, they've been quite a prominent part of my life here, even more so in the last 6-7 months here, with daily watching of multiple cameras and, developing those cameras and getting ready for the eagle nesting season here. And then also later in February here, we're going to have our migrating falcons coming back to the river bluffs and mm-hmm. sites. So that's on my mind quite a bit lately.
Yeah, and you have the technical skills to work with these cameras, I understand.
Right. Yeah, well, it was exciting. Bob and our crew, that was one of the things that I really enjoyed and got to connect with Bob on was the technical mm-hmm. aspects of managing the cameras and broadcasting mm-hmm. them. And this was our big year to get everything upgraded to high definition and 1080p, 720p high definition broadcasting equipment.
Oh, I love cameras. That technical talk when it comes to our national symbol.
And, right.
And we're referring to Bob Anderson. I guess you're the director now. Bob unfortunately passed away last July. The Decora Eagle Nest had come down a week prior to his passing. And tell us about the work then that essentially has made continuity of the Decora Eagle Cam.
Yeah, well, it was really just a whole bunch of things hitting all at once. Like you mentioned, Bob passing away unexpectedly, and we did have after the fledge and the snapping off of N2, which was the active nest that the Decora Eagles were nesting in. And so a couple big, you know, issues to try to deal with. Bob wanted me to take over as the director of the Raptor Resource Project. He was really kind of winding down and getting ready to retire and do a little bit more playing with the cameras and doing stuff like that. And so some big tasks ahead of us. We big help from the current staff and board members that we added to the group for the Raptor Resource Project. So
how many are in that group?
We've got nine board members that I've got to help me out here, and then we've got Amy Reese, our contract employee, that really, you know, keeps everything going with the websites and Facebook, and she's got some folks volunteering and working with her. So a lot of people working to keep that camera and Facebook site and website going.
And the listeners might be able to appreciate when that nest came down, there was the probability that there would not have been a Decora Eagle cam this year. The eagles do have second nests. In fact, that is a second nest. But but in lieu of that, they were probably going to build a nest somewhere, and the camera would not have been able to go up. We cannot harass them or intrude on their privacy, and we need to respect them this time of year. So so the nest came down, and it was in a grove of cottonwood trees, and lo and behold, there was a pretty big cottonwood tree.
Yeah,
essentially at the base of where that pile of sticks ended up. And your board, with the help of, I'm going to mention a few names here, Neil Reddig and Dave Kester and Amy Reese and Kike Arnold. Let's talk about Kike just a little bit, because he was the main climber that took parts of that nest that came down. And, take the story from there, if you could, John.
Yeah. So posed with that problem, I guess Neil Reddig came up with the idea of building a catalyst or a starter nest to entice the eagles back to that general area. There was a nice cottonwood tree. I know Dave Kester was looking in that area and too, and they sighted that tree. It's about 20 yards away from where N2 had come down. So the board and Bob was this is something that we were talking about with Bob and Neil before Bob had passed, and thought it was a great idea, really a huge research project. Had been done before by others, I guess I'm finding out after looking into that, but the group came together and built that nest, and they've adopted it, really a huge success.
And installed the camera. In some regards, it's all about the camera, because we would not have been able to go in there now. So in August, you know, there was quite an expedition going on up there. And I mentioned Kike, that main climber.
Right.
What an individual, world-renowned from Venezuela, is it?
Yeah, and actually, Kike is over in the Philippines right now with Neil Reddig. They are scouting out in Charles with Cornell Lab of Ornithology. They're over on a field mission to look for some sites for potential Philippine eagle cam. The Philippine eagle is endangered, only nests in the Philippines, and they're working on that big project that we kind of carried on from what we had started and what Bob had started with helping out to raise awareness for that eagle.
Essentially the Decora Eagle Cam now is its influence is spread all the way to the Philippines. I think that Philippine eagle is what the most endangered eagle on the planet. With the Raptor Resource Project focus, so people can go to your website. We'll have that information on our website to learn more about those Philippine eagles. So this time of year, we've talked about, you know, Valentine's era, and what's going on with the pair currently?
I know where you're going with that, Pat.
Well,
Some neat videos. Listeners can certainly go back and see all the happenings here. Most of those are posted by people on our Facebook page and access to that. But one of our recorders, cinematographers from the website from the Ustream footage captured Mom and Dad kind of. They were mating on the, we call it the skywalk branch, that they kind of hop up from the nest, and they were copulating up there, and so we know that that's been happening. It was caught kind of on there. We kind of joke about Dad being kind of shy, so we only got to see it in the shadows.
How appropriate is that?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, so it was an eagle in the nest and then hopped up onto the skywalk, and then you could see things happening in the shadows and then came back down to the nest. So it was pretty obvious that these are discrete eagles.
Yeah.
So we should be expecting, I just looked at a video last night that was posted, and they're getting pretty comfortable in that nest bowl and building the grasses up, even with the snows that we've been getting. They just continue to keep bringing that the grasses and soft material in and building that nest bowl.
Kike and Neil essentially started an eagle
right.
nest with the sticks,
right.
maybe halfway, and now the eagle pair accepted their effort of providing a platform, a natural
right.
platform, and they've added to it now, and the mating does occur at the nest site about this time of year. And I think people, you know, there's a fascination. They're internationally renowned as the Decora Eagles, but it's your people that monitor your website so that these discrete topics can be discussed and the learning curve can be appreciated in the school curriculums around the
right.
world. How do you feel about plugging into something with that sort of outreach, John Howe?
It is really amazing. I'm learning as we go. I was more focused on our own property and our Falcon Cam at Great Spirit Bluff north of La Crescent. But it's been amazing just learning the network of people that have created this amazing educational opportunity with the Decora Eagle Cam. And it's the moderators that are there for the chat. Actually, on the 15th here of February, they're going to open up the education chat, and some limited education chat begins on February 15th, and they open up for educators in classrooms between 9 and 11 o'clock a.m. and then 1 to 3 o'clock p.m. So it's amazing to get letters and hear of all the K through 12 and others that are learning and getting to see nature and talk about that in the classroom, all because of what Bob and the crew had started up.
Yeah, that crew. How many moderators are there?
Oh, I know we got three main moderators, mm-hmm. and then I think we've got, I think it's at least about 10. So
yeah.
It's a fairly big crew of people who volunteer their time and make sure that questions are answered and that just quality information is going out. They're much more knowledgeable about the day in and day out details of the eagles. I'm getting more knowledgeable about that as time goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the privilege and the opportunity to be manning the cameras up to this point, and I'm going to be training some other people to help out here as things get busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's good to point out, we're all volunteers, essentially, here at the community radio station, and you do have other work in your life. Does this directorship of the Raptor Resource Project go under the heading of volunteering?
It sure does. I guess I've got my other job as an environmental engineer, and I'm actually a much more frequent visitor to Decora. I really am falling in love and love that city, and the people are very friendly, and it's just such a neat area, that northeast part of Iowa, which is very similar to where I grew up in southeast Minnesota and La Crescent. So feels like home out of the big city, it is a challenge. You know, you got a full-time job and then executive director of of Raptor Resource Project. But it is so much, I enjoy it so much that it isn't even like work.
Well,
I'm sure you can understand that.
But we sure appreciate all that the Raptor Resource Project brings to the world of environmentalism. You mentioned the Philippine Eagles. And we can plug into Bob's work with the Peregrine Falcons. It sounds like that's one of your areas of expertise also with Falcon cams. Is that Great Spirit Bluff in southeast Minnesota?
It is. It's just right a little bit north of the Lochan Dam. That is north of La Crescent, Minnesota, on the Minnesota side of the Mississippi River, just right where I-90 crosses the river over towards La Crosse. So the cam gives a view to the north, out into Lake Onalaska, and then south over to the Lochan Dam. And you can see a little bit of the north part of La Crosse and the bluff
south
there. So beautiful,
sure.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it is a particularly sacred area. And so the Great Spirit Bluff, is that – how did it get its name? What's
my father, Tom Howe, he had, we grew up on that beautiful property, and he had a real deep respect for the American Indian, and we had a close friend that my sister Jenny used to sing with, Bill Miller, of the Stockbridge Muncie tribe, and that was part of just family connections and the spirituality, I think, of being connected with that land, a beautiful piece of property like that, and the wildlife, missing falcons when I grew up, but thanks to Bob, seeing those now, but definitely some eagles there. That was the name that he gave to it and had it designated as a scenic area through the Nature Conservancy as Great Spirit Bluff. So
I'm struck by how people here in Iowa can, through webcams and through looking at Tice Media slides, that even people who can't get out to see nature or housebound or just don't have any idea how to do it can link in and see amazing things that weren't even possible for anybody in the past, like to look into an eagle's nest or to see, Philippine eagles. Who saw Philippine eagles? And I think also of the urge to do this has come a long time ago. I live in Boone, as I have said earlier, and I was in the Boone Historical Society and saw the journals of Carl Fritz Henning, whom you may be familiar with, who really was the county conservation officer that was instrumental in starting the Ledges State Park.
Right here in central Iowa.
Just
west of Ames.
And he has volumes of diaries where he talks about the daily sightings that he sees. Mm-hmm. And he also was quite a gifted artist, and so he illustrated these with beautiful pictures. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought, now we don't have that, and not very many people can get to those old journals. But every day, out at Ada Hayden, Kevin Kane puts up a blog with beautiful photographs. Other people submit some of these and commentary on what's happening right here.
A main cornerstone of the Raptor Resource Project, Bob's work, was to get this information disseminated.
Yes.
With modern technology. So here you got John Howe, the technician that has the capability of perfecting this camera work. Do you see where we're going with this, John?
It's probably the best form of reality TV. I guess not TV, but reality web cams and availability that has been developed that we see out there. A very neat thing, and the great thing about it is the access of it. Everybody's so connected to their smartphones and things today. I think the amazing leap that we made this year is bringing this into HD, where if you got web availability on your TV or whatever, it really is, it's like real life you know, watching the details of these bird cams, raptor cams, falcons, and eagles right in the comfort of your home. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it gets people excited to get outdoors,
yeah,
the ones that
mm-hmm.
can, you know, yeah. But for the people that cannot, we've heard many stories and talked to people in nursing homes or hospitals or whatever,
yeah,
that it's just like, that's what I look forward to, is getting up in the morning,
yeah,
and seeing what's going on with the eagles. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing. That was one of Bob Anderson's greatest gifts to humanity, was assisting people and connecting to our national symbol in the nursing homes and in schools. What a fantastic story that's ongoing. And we'll be anxious to invite you back, John Howe, with the Raptor Resource Project. Thanks for all you do for conservation, John Howe.
You're welcome. Thank you, Pat. Mm-hmm. And it's a crew that do it with me, so I want to definitely give credit to everybody who's helping out.
you've got a great team. Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts for today, mm-hmm, Susan Franzen and Pat Schlarbaum. Mm-hmm. And we started out the show intending to give you the preview of a couple of plays that are coming up this weekend. And because of technical difficulties, we couldn't give you the lovely interview by Nick Julesgaard of the Boone Community Theater today, but I think we will be able to have it on Friday.
Oh, great. I look forward to that.
And yes, it's not to miss, in my opinion. But we did talk to Doug Moon of the Ankeny Community Theater, who told us about Some Sweet Day, which is opening this weekend.
And in the latter part of the program, we talked with Ty Smedes, local author and photographer, about the upcoming Bald Eagle Expo at 1503 Fellowship Church, Baptist Church, in Southeast 6th Street in Des Moines, coming up this weekend. Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, and that will include some of John Howe's exceptional work with the Raptor Resource Project. We sure want to express our appreciation to Ty Smedes, John Howe. There will be also fine information about our guests on the khoifm.org, along with relevant links to today's stories. That's khoifm.org. And you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
And for those of you who missed community theaters, both of those are available on our website, BooneCommunityTheater.org and AnconyCommunityTheater.com. Local Talk was engineered by Richard Morrison, and the music you heard
was Big Blue Sky doing High Flying Bird. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.